I must tell you that it feels strange for me to be reflecting with you from the Ambo, because as you know, I feel quite distant being back here, but our second microphone is broken, so I hope that you'd bear with me. And if you feel distant as I do, please come forward. Don't be shy, we can fill the front rows. But this weekend has been an amazing weekend for me, and I hope for you as well. For those of you who have been following what's been happening around the city, one of the important events in the city this weekend is what is called Open Doors Toronto. And if you have not had a chance to go to Open Doors and you have a little time this afternoon, please do. It's an amazing experience for those who might have participated. You'd recall that some years ago, this church was part of Open Doors. And we had streams of visitors coming into the church to see what was going on. This weekend, the cathedral, our cathedral, St. James Cathedral, is part of Open Doors. And so it's been an opportunity for us to gather. And of course, for the sports fans, whether or not you looked at the game last night, you know that with the North are now in the NBA Finals. And we are thankful for that. We have champions. And by God's grace, we'll persevere to the end. We'll persevere to the end. And yesterday, the church was packed as the Right Reverend Andrew Asbill, Bishop of the Diocese of Toronto, ordained our very own Reverend Morning Wang to the Sacred Order of Priests. It was quite an occasion, with great music, the participation of people who have accompanied Morning on her journey of faith and in her preparation for ordination. And this was all done within the context of the traditions of the church. And I mention the traditions of the church because they're very, very important. Morning was ordained according to what is generally referred to as the apostolic succession. And what that means in summary is that when Jesus appointed the 12 apostles, those were actually the very, very first persons commissioned. And that commissioning has been passed on through the centuries. And so yesterday when the bishop placed his hands on Morning and with all the other priests present passed on the actual, we believe, the actual touch of Jesus from the days of the apostles. And so it's very, very important what is called the apostolic succession, because not only is a tradition carried on, but also the teachings of Scripture. And so we celebrate and we rejoice in that. Morning is also following in the footsteps of so many women of faith who have decided to take a stand for Christ. And the first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, tells us about the conversion of Lydia. Lydia was an astute businesswoman who had heard Paul preaching in Philippi during his second missionary journey, which took him through Macedonia. Lydia immediately believed the message that Paul presented to her and decided to be baptized. And it is believed that the conversion of Lydia and her entire household helped in spreading the gospel and in the formation of the church in Philippi. God used Lydia in that way to spread the gospel throughout the area and throughout the church in Philippi. An interesting aside, though, is that you would notice that not only was Lydia herself baptized, but her entire household was baptized. And yesterday, as morning made her ordination vows, and whenever someone is ordained, one of the commitments that we make is that we'll not only, not just we ourselves will endeavor to follow the scripture, but we'll encourage our entire household. And why is that important? Well, it's important whether or not other people are in our household of faith, whether or not they believe. What's important is that our home, our household, just as the church, is identified as a place of Christian worship. And so the tradition continues. The tradition continues. Now, morning, you're on your first day as a priest, and you might be aware that morning also celebrated the Eucharist at the Mandarin Ministry at 9 o'clock. And morning is embarking today on the vocation to which she has been called. Morning has responded to God's call to be a priest. And God is calling each and every one of us by name and keeps on reminding us about our specific personal vocation. Each of us has a vocation as baptized Christians because God has a job for each of us, and God wants us to be sent on his mission in the way that he will be using us. And as we know, discernment is ongoing. Discernment is ongoing. There are many around the church today who have made a commitment to God's work. I can think of so many of the faithful at St. George and Young, so many of the faithful in other parishes, so many of the faithful Christians who continue to live out their vocations in their own way. Parish nurses, wardens, we can go on and on and on. But our Christian vocation does not end within the confines of the church, because wherever we are, we should be symbols of God's love, and we should be God's arms and God's feet and God's mind working for others. So God sent Paul to proclaim the good news to Lydia, and she was never the same again. For following the example of Jesus, Paul did not allow sexual or cultural boundaries to keep him from proclaiming the gospel. And so we too must not allow artificial barriers to prevent us from proclaiming the gospel to everyone. All races, all creeds, all genders, all dispositions, all economic status. Because the gospel is a universal gospel. And so we too are called to share the gospel, and we hope that our lives will be changed, and that our ministry will have an impact on those to whom we are sent to proclaim the good news. And we pray that, like Lydia, we will welcome others into our hearts and into our lives. Yes, Lydia, a faithful woman of God. Lydia, an example for so many. Lydia, used by God to spread the gospel in Philippi and in other areas of Macedonia. But on this sixth Sunday of Easter, we continue to celebrate the new life of the resurrection. And the gospel reading is about a healing miracle, new life, and a fresh start for a man who had been ill for 38 years. And as the scripture tells us, when he was in conversation with Jesus, he said, "No one had ever helped me, And I would imagine that he probably felt that his situation was hopeless. I've got to tell you this, that quite often when I go to hospitals, to nursing homes, and to visit people who might be ill, sometimes I look around and notice that there's so many who have not had a visitor for a very long time. On one of my recent visits, I engaged someone in conversation, and she mentioned to me that she hadn't had, despite having family, she hadn't had anyone visit her for quite a while. Sometimes situations can appear to be hopeless. The good news, though, is that we are God's feet, we are God's hands. We are the body of Christ, and we do have an opportunity to visit those who are in need, to make a phone call, to do whatever we can. And we ourselves are often in need, aren't we? We ourselves are often in need of prayers, of support, of some form of encouragement. But no matter how we feel, we know that God can help us when we are in dire need. So we should not let hardships and difficulties cause us to lose hope, because our loving God has plans for each of us and has used people who have overcome difficulties to minister to those who are hurting. I'm happy to tell you that this parish hosts a number of support groups. There are a couple at least that meet here, and support groups are very, very important because these are people who have had the same experiences who are supporting each other. The man who was at the well for 38 years did not have a support group, but he knew that he could depend on God. And we too can depend on the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are some similarities between healing miracles. Generally, Jesus would encounter someone who is in need of healing. The person is restored to health, and the witnesses are amazed, because miracles are difficult to explain, aren't they? However, there are some important differences. Sometimes there's an emphasis on the faith of the person who is looking for healing. Sometimes it is like a patient being brought to the physician. And sometimes Jesus heals by giving instructions, as in this story. Stand up and walk. Each situation is unique because Jesus did not bring healing to people in general, to groups. Jesus brought healing for individuals like you and like me. From the gospel, I would like to share three thoughts very quickly with you for your consideration. And the first thought is that God's timing is the only ideal time. God's timing is the only ideal time. Even after 38 years, the man remained faithful amidst all of the difficulties, even without the signs of progress and the lack of support systems. Could you imagine that if after 37 years he had quit, he had said, "I'm giving up, I'm here long enough, I'm going home," he would have missed the miracle. It's a reminder to us that God's time is the only real time. But it's difficult, isn't it? Because we want everything to happen now, don't we? We, even in our prayers, want to tell God that it's time, don't we? "Father, please help me as soon as you can, right now." I don't know about you, but I often get impatient. And I remember a few years ago, I had a conversation with my regional dean, and some of you might have heard me say this before, and she gave me a book. It was around Advent time. She gave me a book on the seven spiritual gifts of waiting. And I said, and she wrote in it, "Leonard, read this." I said, "Reverend Heather, did you have to get personal?" But what she was telling me really is that waiting is an active process, and only God's time, the only important time is God's time. And we sometimes get a bit discouraged when we do not get an immediate response, don't we? When we do not get an immediate response to our prayers. But we are reminded that a delay is not a denial. A delay is not a denial. So first of all, God's timing is the only ideal time. Secondly, from the gospel reading, we think of the healing miracle. Jesus shows consideration for the man who wanted to get well. The man had a strong desire to be healed. So he was quite clear in responding when Jesus asked him whether he wanted to be made well. There are lots of studies that show that a critical aspect of any healing is a strong desire. A strong desire to be healed. A strong desire. The man had been ill for 38 years, and yet he had not given up. Listen to what he said to Jesus. "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." And yet, he had a strong desire. And his desire led to his determination. The determination that kept him trying, keep trying to get into the pool, despite not having a support system. So first of all, he had the desire and the determination to continue, but he also had the divine intervention, God's grace and mercy. As Jesus said, "Stand up, take your mat and walk." Stand up, take your mat, and walk. But as we close out our reflection on the gospel reading, the very last line of the gospel reading is significant because it tells us that this miracle happened on the Sabbath. And why do we think that the writer mentioned the Sabbath here? Well, Jesus carries out a healing miracle on the Sabbath, an important miracle. A man who had not walked for 38 years had been given a new lease on life. But guess what happened? The Pharisees were more concerned about their own rules than the life and health of a human being. They were more concerned about rules than about new life given to a human being. We too must ask ourselves, are our rules hindering or helping people? Are our rules hindering or helping people? Now, this man was happy to be physically healed, but he needed God's forgiveness to be spiritually healed. And God's gracious offer of salvation is also available to each and every one of us. So in closing, Jesus was not as interested in the man's past as in his future. He saw the man lying there and asked him the question to affirm his faith and his desire to be well. And the question that was posed, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? And the well man was a living demonstration of Jesus' resurrection power. and of God's handiwork to defeat death and to create life. And my sisters and my brothers in Christ, that power is still at work today. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your gift of resurrection life. Help us to hear your call to get up, to rise up, and to witness to your love and to your grace. Amen.